BPR Podcast.
Good evening. My name is Jared Key, and I have with me again Michael D'Artenzio and Oliver Hudson. So this week, we're going to debrief the election, talk about the results across states, including the legalization of marijuana, gay marriage, and the new picks up the Democrats have in the Senate. Great. So I'm going to start with Oliver Hudson.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jared, and good to see you, Michael, again. So Obama won the presidential election, and he won it by a pretty clear margin in the Electoral College, although the popular vote was closer. There were some important Senate pickups. Elizabeth Warren won in Massachusetts over Scott Brown, which I was... The late polling suggested that Elizabeth Warren would win, but I was surprised by that. I thought that a lot of people in Massachusetts would vote for more of a moderate in the Senate than a pretty far-left Democrat. And there were a number of measures to legalize pot in the United States. So one in Colorado, and the other one was in
Washington.
All around it was, you know, we spent maybe in total the spending on this election was between $6 to $8 billion, and the electoral situation is roughly the same. We have a few more Democrats in the Senate, a few more in the House, the same president, but basically the same dynamic in the Washington is still going on. So I think there's some question as to whether we should be spending this much on elections. Mm. But it'll be interesting to see where we go from here, whether Obama works with Republicans, whether Republicans want to work with Obama, especially in matters that are coming up, such as the fiscal cliff. Mm-hmm. But so far, it's pretty much all the same and a lot of noise.
I tend to agree with that analysis. It's good to see both of you, too, and good to talk again today. You know, first of all, yes, the Democrats did very well, really surprisingly well. For me, particularly in the Senate, given the number of seats that they had to defend, I mean, I think the fact that they actually picked up seats, even if it was only two, is really quite telling. I think the Republican primary debates really did not reflect well on the Republican Party. And the comments on rape by those two Senate candidates really, I think, painted the party as a whole as completely out of touch. And that affected not just those two races, but the presidential race and down ticket races too. So I think that the Republican Party really has some thinking to do about how to position themselves and how to think about going in the next election. I think you're right. We've spent a lot of money on this election to really produce a result that hasn't changed at all. So that was interesting. I think the Republicans have something to learn from this, and you know, it'll be interesting to see going forward, particularly with the discussion we're going to have in Washington about the nation's debt in the lame duck Congress. So. Mm.
I'm curious, you both mentioned that we spent a lot of money, same result. I'm curious, however, what happened if we didn't spend that amount of money? Because it could be, because you can easily spend out your candidate and win. So like if Obama didn't spend as much, maybe we would have Romney as a candidate. Mm-hmm. And that would be, so like we have to, so yeah, just respond to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the truth is we were always going to spend this much money. You know, campaign spending is basically an arms race, just like you have a nuclear arms race. Mm-hmm. You know, the other side is going to get so much money, so we have to get more than that, and it just builds up. And so, you know, the stakes are so high in the election that basically everyone wants to get a piece of the victory, mm-hmm. Whoever wins. So, I wouldn't support limits on campaign funding, but I think that. Unfortunately, our government's gotten to the point where it's able to do so much that people feel the need to donate to particular candidates that'll do them special favors or enact programs for them. If we had a more limited government, but we didn't have restrictions on finance, campaign finance, I think that far fewer would be donated to campaigns, and that would be better for the country overall.
Just curious, do you want to respond to that? Do you agree with him?
I agree with what Oliver says.
Cool. Okay, then. Great. Let's move on. So, marijuana. When that happened, when marijuana got passed in Colorado and in Washington, I got two text messages from friends being like, oh my God, it's happening. Yeah. And so a lot of my friends were really excited. However, the next day, the mayor of Boulder, Colorado, came out and said, oh, by the way, or Denver, Colorado was like, oh, by the way, that doesn't actually mean anything because the federal government still says that marijuana is illegal. I mean, I don't even know what is the role of states in this, and like, how does this kind of position between state power versus federal power work?
Yeah, I'll tee this one off. You know, I think your friend's assessment was correct, and I'm not sure where the implementation is going to go from here. But I think it does really speak to sort of the path that this nation has chosen to go. I mean, it's emblematic of the fact that the Democrats really did so well in the elections. You know, we spoke earlier before we were recording about how proposals about gay marriage on ballots really passed overwhelmingly, and in Minnesota, the proposal to ban gay marriage constitutionally failed. Mm-hmm. So I think that really is kind of tied to the marijuana debate, where we had marijuana become nominally legalized in Washington and Colorado, and in states like Massachusetts, where medical mm-hmm. marijuana was passed.
With very strict regulations, but...
I saw it's fairly loose regulations, which is why I voted no on that proposition. Not necessarily that I'm inherently against marijuana, but more that I'm against a law that isn't really doesn't do what it set out to accomplish. So I think a couple of things. I think you have medical marijuana in Massachusetts now. You have it in other states, and you have even sort of nominally legalized marijuana in some states. I'm not sure how quickly that will take shape, though. I think, in the Massachusetts law, for example, companies cannot make a profit. They can only make what they spend, which really limits sort of the entrepreneurial spirit in a sense. And then you have the question of federal law as well. So I think there have been some victories for marijuana. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced, though, that we're going to see pot shops opening up anytime soon.
So maybe we should look at, should the federal government allow marijuana be something that states decide for themselves instead of having a federal ban for it? Is that
absolutely? I don't think there's any place in the Constitution that the federal government has the authority to regulate or outlaw something like marijuana. So I think it definitely should be a state issue. And I think even though these laws in Colorado and Washington contradict federal law, I think it's still a good step because it puts the pressure on everyone else in the country to reconsider whether our drug policy is a smart thing and whether we're locking people up for a lot of nonviolent crimes, incurring a lot of costs for this, and whether it's been good. The drug war has basically gone on since the 1970s, and I think it's not been a great thing for this country. So I think that, it's kind of a pot shot against, so to speak, against the federal government, but as it should be. This is a state issue, and I'd like to see it eventually be the drug war ended.
So speaking of other state issues, there's gay marriage. So Maryland had a referendum, and so the citizens got to vote on whether or not gay marriage was okay in that state, mm-hmm. and they ultimately decided yes. In my opinion, looking across the board, looking at the number of, I would say, more liberal agenda things that were passed, it seems like America is spiraling into maybe a more liberal nation. Is that just my assessment? I'm curious what you have to think about that.
Well, interesting you said that. I was shocked by the size of the Obama victory and the number of so-called liberal victories, because I was thinking back to the time in 2010 when there was all this resentment against Obama and resentment mm-hmm. against the government with the Tea Party and the town hall meetings. And I figured that would come back during election time and might cost Obama the election. And I'll be interested to see if it comes back as we go into Obama's second term. But definitely I think maybe the country could be shifting a little on social issues. I don't know how much it shifted on fiscal issues.
Yeah.
But I think definitely we're witnessing a shift.
And if I could just respond to that in general, I mean, I think it's interesting because really historically this has been a center-right nation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, with the kind of phrase, I can't remember the exact phrase, but that the heartland is critical to winning a presidential election, whatever president said that. And I think that really speaks to the fact that that's kind of our historical leanings. And yes, I think we are seeing some changes. I do just want to respond to what Oliver said, and this is kind of related to the what he was speaking about marijuana, and that, the issue right now is that when we're making these changes to our drug laws, we're doing it piecemeal. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a hodgepodge set of different rules state by state. There's no cohesive national effort, which there really needs to be. Either a national effort to say this is going to be a state by state decision or a national effort to say otherwise. But we really need to have a nationwide discussion about that. And I also, the other thing that concerns me about these marijuana laws is that I don't like passing laws that are irrespective of other laws. And particularly for me, what is emblematic of this is the medical marijuana law in Massachusetts. Now that's where I'm from. Medical marijuana, I think, has a lot of benefits and is a worthwhile endeavor. But when you have a law that allows basically anybody to go and pay for a consultation from somebody who isn't even their primary care physician for a chronic condition that they can then qualify for a card that never expires, I mean, it's like, you've got to be kidding me, you know? So medical marijuana itself is not a bad thing. But if we're going to say we're going to do that, let's do that. Right. I don't appreciate voting for laws that try to subvert their goals and do more than what the title says that they'll accomplish. So I think that really speaks to the fact that we need to have a national discussion, not have a set of piecemeal decisions, and not try to do things that beyond what the law may say.
I agree with Michael that it's not great to have a law that contradicts another law.
Right.
And I think that a national effort would be good in helping solve this problem. But unfortunately, I don't think that until we take piecemeal approaches in various places, there will be some kind of national effort. So I think we have to basically tolerate the annoyance of inconsistency in the law and particular states contradicting federal law for the time being until we get enough of a movement behind legalization of drugs, which I think eventually will happen.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, I mean, we've expanded the conversation now to kind of like national conversations. So why don't we speak about the amount of women candidates that were elected to, especially the Senate and the House. I think there were 20 in all. Tammy, I can't think of her last name.
Duckworth.
Yeah, being one of the first gay women in the Senate, right?
Yep.
Let's talk about women.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think, first of all, women had a huge role in this election. And I think what you see is that you'll see the statistic that married women tend to vote more for Romney, and single women tend to vote more for Obama. Now, you can read in that statistic however you want, but women, and in particular women's issues, as we spoke about earlier with those Senate candidates, and really I think Romney's inability to relate, had a huge impact on this election.
Right.
Beyond that, though, I think it's important to speak about the increasing ranks of women in our leadership. Now, obviously, women must only make up 20% of the U.S. House where they make up 50% of the, about 50% of the country. So there's still a long way to go. But there were definitely some gains this election. For example, are the only Democratic women governor in the United States, a Brown graduate, Maggie Hassan, was just elected in New Hampshire. So that's
really
very exciting. Definitely some positive movement forward.
Yeah, I agree with Michael that I think probably comments from Republicans alienated women.
wonderful way to say that. Okay.
And contributed to victories for women in various races. But I'm not so into the, great, we have so many more women in the House or the Senate. I think that we should elect people based on what they plan to do and not necessarily whether they're women or whether they're minorities.
See.
I don't really assign any value to that. To me, the fact that there are more women in the Senate is sort of meaningless.
That's curious. So, I mean, I definitely think, to respond to that, I definitely think that voters are not voting for these women because they're women, as much as they believe that their ideas are great. I do think, however, that it's important for a nation to be as representative as possible and to have women as a part of the legislative process. Is important to have that specific voice. And so I don't think that it's meaningless to have their presence as much as it is just to celebrate diversity and making sure we're being respected to that.
Well, I mean, I think it's also a metric, which is, I think, a way that I may be discussing it as well in a sort of to measure, are women succeeding enough to be able to be elected to these positions? You're talking about whether that we want to elect qualified and competent candidates. I think we'd all agree with that. But I think this is also a useful metric to say, is our society well-balanced? Are we fundamentally serving people well so that they can, attain these positions? That I suppose that's another way to look at it. And I think that, when we talk a couple of weeks about affirmative action, I think that discussion will come up again. So,
yeah, I think that it's not a problem to have women in the Senate.
Obviously. I would hope that's true.
And I think that, if it's true that more women in the Senate means it's a result of greater opportunities for women, I think that's good. But I would not want to support a candidate or be happy about candidates being elected to office simply because they're women or a particular group.
Yeah, right. I agree with you. And we should also note that we're three men talking about this. So
three men.
That's right.
Talking about women. Great. So I guess as we sum up and wrap up for today, let's talk about what we expect from Obama in his next 4 years in office.
Well, I'll let Oliver eat that one off.
Well, I think there's a lot to be nervous about. First of all, we have the fiscal cliff coming up. We have our debt is astronomical, as I mentioned last time, $16 trillion public debt. Mm. We are engaged in wars overseas. Then there's no real end to these. And basically, the whole, as I mentioned before, the situation in Congress hasn't changed much because we now have the same president and the same makeup basically in both houses of Congress. So I think unless there's some kind of move to the center between Republicans and Obama, there won't be much progress in a second term.
I'm worried about that, too. And I think we've seen a real evolution of the president over the first 4 years of his first term. You know, I think he made a lot of mistakes, a lot of real rookie mistakes, quite frankly, in the first few years, and has really sort of learned how the political atmosphere as the chief executive in Washington works, that he can kind of use that to his advantage. I'm hopeful that will pay off in a second term, but I do worry, like you, Oliver, that the sort of return of the same balance of power in Washington will hinder his ability to be successful. I think the debt ceiling conversations, the debt ceiling as well as the debt in general, those conversations are really going to be hopefully predictive of where the next 4 years will be, and hopefully those conversations go well.
Great. I mean, to follow up with both of you, I think that is a difference between expecting Obama to work with a Congress rather than have a Congress work with itself, because I think a lot of the gridlock that we experienced the last 2 years especially came from Congress itself. And like, for instance, a Republican-controlled House not being able to get anything passed through a Democrat-controlled Senate. So maybe the conversation then could go to, what do we expect from our Congress? Do we think they're going to come into the center more, or do we expect the same kind of, oh, no compromise, no negotiation, we have to do what we want?
Well, I think that Congress is basically always going to be fighting among themselves, the parties in Congress, and what it really takes is the party in Congress looking to the president, the Democratic Party looking to the president for some direction. And if they sense that the president is urging them onto a particular issue, they'll go that way and hopefully work with Republicans. But I think that unless Obama provides a clear direction for Democrats in the House, there's basically just going to be continual infighting.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that, but I do want to qualify that I think Obama has provided direction in the past. You know, I think originally, as a great example of how he's grown over the past 4 years, you know, originally he would say, I'd like a health care reform bill, but I'm going to let you write it, which I don't think was the correct path to take. And I think he quickly realized that and started to push people in a direction which ultimately produced the health bill that, you know, we have today. So I'm hopeful that he's learned from that and he will do that in the second term.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of Obama supporters complained about Republican obstructionism during Obama's first 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that the president and Democrats would be better to think that, okay, Republicans, if they can get away with it, are going to oppose what the president wants to do. So a better course of action is to try and actually work with them and reach some kind of compromise.
That's curious. Great. So we will have future conversations talking about several things, including education and affirmative action. So until then.
Great. Well, thanks, Jared. I enjoyed this, and good to see you again, Michael.
Likewise. Look forward to talking next week.
Great. Thank you all.